Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Well, the whole country, or at least this region, is just absolutely enthralled with the eclipse that's going to take place tomorrow. And it's an exciting thing, really. I mean, you know, the last time there was a solar eclipse that swept the entire width of the nation from the west coast to the east coast was in 1918. So this is a dramatic event. So just in keeping with that, let me share a few things with you. I want to warn you, though, do not look directly at any of these jokes, because it could be dangerous. All right. How does the man in the moon cut his hair? Eclipse it. All right, yeah. Boy says to his dad, "Dad, can you tell me what an eclipse is?" The dad says, "No, son." I warned you, do not look directly at any of these jokes. All right. How do you organize an eclipse party? You plan it. You get it? All right. This is not an IQ test. Did you hear about the restaurant on the moon? The food was great, but there was no atmosphere. And there you have it. Hey, welcome. This morning, I want to continue the series. This is the third part in a series on life together. And we're talking about life groups and how important it is for our spiritual growth and for the body of Christ that we all be involved in a small group where we can share our lives with others and share in their life as well. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to kind of break it down into two parts. And let's begin at verse 1 and go through verse 6. Paul, writing, of course, to the church at Ephesus, says, "As a prisoner for the Lord," you know, writing this in house arrest, he said, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Now, what does that mean, a life worthy? What that simply means is, I urge you to live the life that God deserves from you. After all He's given us, all that He's done, I urge you to live a life that the life that God deserves from you. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now here in the first six verses of Ephesians 4, Paul suggests that followers of Christ are motivated by God. The life that He deserves for us to live is a life of both being and doing. Being and doing. Plato Plato said, to do is to be. Aristotle said, to be is to do. Frank Sinatra said, dooby dooby doo. Some of you young people, you don't know who Frank Sinatra is. So I encourage you to Google Strangers in the Night. As we see here in Ephesians, God calls us to both be and to do. It's two sides of the same coin. Now let's look at this. First, the being. He says, be humble. Be gentle. Be patient. Be loving. Now, we might at first think of these things, humility, gentleness, patience, and love, as actions. And they are at times. But they are more a state of being, who we are. Humble, gentle, patient, loving. In this context, in Ephesians 4, Paul talks about these virtues, these characteristics, these qualities as being. You know, our society has become quite focused on doing and not so much on being. We work to get good evaluations. We work to make good grades. We work to seek a promotion. And then we acquire symbols of success. Vehicles, houses, trinkets, possessions, prestige. But the Scripture encourages us to not forsake understanding what it means to be. There is a time for doing, and we're going to talk about that. But we cannot forsake the importance of being these things. Now, I want to assure you that these qualities are almost non-existent in a person outside faith in Christ. Now, I've known some people that were not believers, that were gentle and kind and being, but for the most part, it requires the work of God to make us people that are gentle and patient, loving and kind, humble. It's the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And as we become these things, we begin to resemble Christ more and more and more. We take on the qualities and the character of Christ Himself. You know, I've heard people argue that humility and gentleness and patience and love are not conducive to get ahead in this world. That this is a world of dog eat dog, and you got to get in there and fight. Stand up for yourself. Be aggressive. But that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God teaches to put others first. The Word of God teaches us to lay down our lives for the sake of others. By Jesus' definition, a person who is hardened to others, who is unable to be touched by their infirmities, that person is weak. Jesus teaches that the person who stores up for himself treasures on earth is foolish. Jesus teaches that a person who sacrifices relationships with others in order to promote himself, that person is evil. You know, good character is really not something that we come to naturally. Apart from Christ, in our lostness, in our flesh, we are most often just the opposite of these characteristics, of these traits. Only possible through the surrender of our life, through the Holy Spirit, and allow that old man to be put to death, that the new man may live and live abundantly. And an abundant life is a life of humility and gentleness and patience and kindness. We must not forsake the call of the Lord for us to be. To be. Well, from that point in these first six verses of Ephesians 4, or from the point of the call to be, Paul now goes on to tell us something to do. Once we've established this being, then we'll be able to do this. It is this being that enables us to enter into the do part. The do be, do be do. And this is what he calls us to do. To flow out of this being, we are to do unity. Do unity. In his words, he says, make every effort. Make every effort. Put forth the effort. Expend the energy. Do it. Who is it? What is the company that has the slogan, just do it? Nike, I knew that. I just wanted to see if you did. Be humble, be gentle, be loving, and do unity. So it takes effort to do unity. It takes the laying down of our own preferences. It takes the laying down of our own desires and often ambitions, our own selfishness, to do unity. Unity that flows forth from our being. Now, unity is the outworking of the character qualities of gentleness, humility, and love. But unity is not automatic. We have to do unity. We have to be intentional, deliberate. We have to be willing to not be easily offended, to put others first, to be considerate. We have to do it. Now, following this teaching on being and doing, Paul goes on to talk about the building of the body of Christ, the church. He talks to them about how they are to respond to one another and how that God uses His people to build the church. Now, that's what we're here doing. We're building a church. We're building the body of Christ. And it's God's desire for us all to come together and to be built up in our holy faith so that we as one will attain maturity in Christ and not be carried away or pushed around or deceived by all the whims of the world. So, Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 7. He says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. To each one of us, a gift has been given. To each one of us has been given a special component or a special ingredient to make the body complete. To each one of us, there has been given this grace or this gift to be used for the building of the body. He says, this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. He gave gifts, he being Christ Jesus, gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave. It is Christ Jesus who gives grace or who gives gifts to you and to me. He gives gifts to us. And he gives these gifts with the expectation, as we'll see here in just a moment, with the expectation that these gifts are to be used to build the body of Christ. And with the body of Christ being built, we will effectively reach the world, penetrate the darkness, be the voice of the Lord. It was he who gave some to be, and he lists a fivefold ministry. We're familiar with these, but he lists them here. He says he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Why did he give them? To prepare God's people for works of service. The gifts are given to build the body, to prepare the church to be the church. To prepare the church to be the church. Now, let me just read a companion scripture to that. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Begin with verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ. Okay? We are the body of Christ. And each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then working of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers. It's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. Not all are these things. Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? He says, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 and 5, it says, each one of us should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Okay, so here we all are gathered together with the scriptures before us, telling us that we have all received a gift, maybe more than one, but we have all received a grace. And it's interchangeable, grace and gift. We have all received something to add to the mix. You know, it's like baking a cake. You ever bake a cake? You do? You bake a cake? Huh? Last night. You eat cake? This is a good relationship. See, you're a good team. She bakes cake, you eat cake. You take the cake. You know, you have ingredients. Right, what's your name?
October.
Wow. You're the first person I met named October. That's wonderful. So you take some eggs, right? Am I embarrassing you? I hope not. October, you take some egg, right? Eggs and sugar and flour or what is water? Butter? Butter. All right, butter. I like Paula Deen's recipe. Everything begins with take one stick of butter. Right. And all of those ingredients go together and you stir them up and pop them in the oven and out comes, and your name, sir, is?
Dominique.
Dominique's cake. What kind of cake did she make last night? Chocolate? Pound cake? Yellow cake. Did it have icing on it? No, yellow cake. Ah, sounds delicious. Was it good? Very good. You make a cake. All your parts take a puzzle. How many of you, when you go on vacation, do a jigsaw puzzle? No. My daughter and son-in-law on the vacation did a big jigsaw puzzle. It was wonderful, wonderful. Waste of time. But you take the pieces and you piece them together. And without all the pieces, you don't have the picture, right? It takes every piece to get the picture. They did this 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. 1,000 pieces to this puzzle, all spread out on the table. I didn't have a place to sit and eat. And they got all the way down, and they had one piece left, and it was missing. I felt like the parable of the missing coin, or the, what was the other one? The coin, and what other was missing? What? The sheep. They turned that house upside down, looking for that missing piece, because the puzzle was not complete. They found it. Thank goodness they found it. That's what we are. We're many becoming one. And the one that we are becoming is glorious and magnificent and powerful and called to reach the lost and the hurting and the hungry and to clothe the naked and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's who we are. That's who we are. Man, I think about it sometimes. Pastor Mike, we think about who we are. The body of Christ. Whew, that's heavy stuff. We are the presence of God in the world. Yeah, amen. We are. Y'all get up here, team preaching. He said responsibility. That's where it gets to. Responsibility. We have been given grace. We have been given a gift. And therefore we are responsible to use that gift for the building of the body of Christ. Amen. Without that, the body is not going to be complete. Now let me get back quickly. I don't want to run out of time. We got plenty of time though. The eclipse is not till 1 o'clock tomorrow. Starts at 1, right? Am I? 1 to 4. Thank you very much, young man. So that the body of Christ has been given these gifts. Why? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. And hear this now. And become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We will not become mature as a body. We will remain immature. We will not become, is joined together, fitted together to do their responsibility and contribute their gift or their grace to the body. Understand that? Are you the lost puzzle piece? What would that, October, back to you again. Not very good. Not very. It wouldn't be complete. Has sugar. We need sugar in our cake. We need some. We got to make sure we have the butter. I'm going to make you butter. Chris, you're the egg. Without you, this cake's not going to be complete. It's not going to be good. What is your grace? What have you been graced with? What is your gift? And are you contributing it to the mix? For without it, we will not be mature and we will not attain the fullness of Christ. We have a responsibility to bring what we have been given to go in the mix, to complete the body, that we may attain the fullness of Christ, that we may become mature, so that we're not just tossed around by every whim, by every doctrine, so that we're not buffeted and defeated by every scheme of Satan, but we can stand as one, unified, giving forth what we have received into the body, complete and full and strong, and proclaiming without hesitation the gospel of Christ. His healing, His love, His mercy, His grace. That's what we can do if we're obedient to the Word of God. So then we will no longer be infants. You know, a church can be an infant spiritually just like an individual can be an infant spiritually. There are a lot of infant churches. An infant church fusses and fumes and fights and withholds. Doesn't give. Doesn't serve. Doesn't love. Doesn't forgive. There are a lot of infant churches. And we will be an infant church unless we take the grace that we have been given and give it back to the body. We're responsible for this. We're accountable to each other. Now, the best place to do this, to bring your gifting and to minister, is in a life group. This setting, honestly, is really not designed for you to demonstrate your gift. This is a weird thing we do here on Sunday, as far as the body of Christ is concerned. It's encouragement. It's a time to worship. It's a place in which you can bring your gift. But it's really not the place. I mean, you're encouraged, you're edified, but it's really not ideally suited for building the body. It recharges our battery. But where the body is built, where relationships are formed, where ministry happens, is in those groups where people are together and they know each other and come to love each other, serve each other, sacrifice for each other. That's where it takes place. That's where the church reaches maturity. As good a preacher as Pastor Mike is, you're not going to reach maturity if all you do is come and sit here and listen to him preach and read out of his Bible. As good as our worship is, you're not going to come to spiritual maturity just by sitting here and being and consuming what takes place on the platform. You're not going to reach maturity. And neither is the body of Christ that we say that we love. I tell my wife I love her. I tell the church I love her. I tell the body of Christ I love the body of Christ. But if I don't demonstrate, if I don't do something to demonstrate that love, then it's just blah, 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 blah. After a while, that's all it is. Blah, 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 blah. You say you love the body of Christ. What are you contributing to build it up, to help her reach maturity, to help her reach the full measure of Christ? Can you imagine what would happen if we, as the fountain, actually reached the full measure of Christ? I dare to say, we wouldn't recognize this place. It would be so grand and glorious. If we reached the full measure of Christ, we would impact this community in a dramatic way. If we reached the full measure of Christ, when someone that was sick walked through that door, they would be healed. If we reached the full measure of Christ, if someone came into our presence that was lost in sin, they would cry out for mercy and grace and forgiveness, because they would experience the true and genuine love of Christ Jesus that died for them, and they would know that it's real, and they would welcome it into their lives. Amen. From Him the whole body, joined and held together, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament and meniscus, grows and builds itself up. Oh, listen to me. Tune back in. Tune back in. Come on. And hear this. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. I'm a ligament. Lord, make me a ligament. Grows and builds itself up in love. In love, as each part does its work. Let's pray. Thank you for your word, Lord. Even though it convicts us, we welcome it. Lord, you tell us that this word can change our lives. It has the power to change our hearts, to change our minds. Father, impress upon us this day the importance of coming together to love and to minister, to share, to accept, to forgive. That we as the fountain, the body of Christ we call the fountain, may be built up, become mature, and attain the fullness of Christ Jesus. We thank you that you've offered even the opportunity for this to happen. We ask for your blessing. We ask for your forgiveness when we're slow to respond. Move our hearts. Truly make us the body of Christ. Each one doing his part, her part, to build the church. We thank you for this privilege in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Now there, again, the best place for this to happen is in a life group. There are lists out there. I think there are like already 10 groups that are forming. Become part of one. I promise you, you won't regret it. Holy name.